All right. Hello, hello. We're live. It's Friday, May 10th, 2024. We're in an election year. Nothing is a coincidence. And I'm your host, Conservative Mama. Hey guys, get on in here. Let's chat it up. Let's chat it up. We've got around the town in California. What's up, California? How you doing? How you doing? I did some time. I did some time in California before I became a mother and married. I did the whole California scene. Lived in Hollywood. Did the whole acting thing. Was part of the Screen Actors Guild, actually. Yeah, I did that for a while. Worked for a pretty well-known celebrity. That's a whole other story. I should just do a whole talk on my time in Hollywood. because that was interesting. That taught me a lot. And when I was there, I was terrible at acting. Like, absolutely horrible. I'll be honest with you. I would watch myself and cringe. And some of you trolls on here probably still do that. But I think growing in just life has made me kind of, I don't know, a little bit better with timing and comedy and all that stuff. But when I started, it was a hot mess. I'll be honest. It was, whoa, who told this lady to get on the stage? Honestly, could you just, that was me. I remember my sister coming to see one of my improvs. And she was like, it was painful, Rachel. It was painful. So, but since then, I've grown a little bit. I think kids will do that to you, finding that just the comedy in life, in situations, and timing, and not trying to be funny. When I started out, I was like, I have to be funny, you know. And it's actually, you're funny when you're serious. I did a scene once in front of this huge acting class, and I had this just brilliant, brilliant coach, and I was going to do this dramatic scene, and I got up there with my partner, and I'm so serious in the moment, and I'm saying my lines, and we're all in it, and the class starts laughing. They start laughing at me, and I'm like, why is everyone laughing? Like, what's so funny? And my coach, Nikolai, got up and he goes, you know, you're supposed to be doing comedy. And I refused to, I didn't want to do that. I was like, no, I am a dramatic actress. I want to make people cry. And he's like, no, you're not. Sorry. And it was then it was a hard moment for me in that moment. And I didn't put it all together until I realized, like, when you're straight, you're funny. Like, I'm serious right now. And that's what I had to learn. It took me some time to do it. So anyways, that's just a random story to start this whole thing off. Cause around town in California gave me a shout out. And then I started talking about California. We got Kim in Tennessee. We got Ed. Ed has been with me for a long time. Hello, Ed. Thanks for joining. We got Ann. We got John. We got Steven. Okay, you guys, there's a lot going on. I don't even know where to start. So we're just going to start off with this hot one right now that I saw trending on Twitter, recapping the week. Biden had an interview on CNN and broke a record. He broke a record. He's record-breaking Biden. And his record was telling the most amount of lies in a short period of time. He told 15 lies. They've all been debunked by various news agencies. And he did this in 17 minutes. Quite impressive. Like, I don't even know if I could do that, really. I'd have to write them down and then, like, rehearse it and be like, I'm going to lie in this minute and this minute. But he did it. I think he did it just all improv, just straight up, just cranked out the lies. And in 17 minutes, 15 lies. Here's a quick blip on it.
15 minutes. Biden told 15 lies, nearly a lie a minute. From whoppers about the economy to prevarications on Israel, Biden spun a fantasy land of a presidency that voters know is false. So what we want to do is put it all together, all right? So on screen, you'll see all 15 that the New York Post lists here. I don't know what you favor, Martha. Lie one is I've created 15 million jobs since I've been president. Problem is that all those jobs came back because COVID went away and you had the vaccine. How about number eight? Inflation was 9% when I came to office?
Nope.
That's right. and on it went. There it is right there, 9% when it came to office.
1.4% when he came into office, which is, you know, the Fed target area. So that's a healthy place. That's where you want to be. Also, it was no.
So record-breaking, guys, record-breaking lies. I mean, that's impressive. I'll give him that. That takes some serious skill to be able to lie that much in that short amount of time. And he keeps saying that inflation was so low, or that he brought inflation down before he came into office. And this was after COVID, you guys, like during the whole midst of in the midst of COVID, it was at 1.4. And now and then it shot up. I mean, it's still high. And it's sad because I've gotten used to it at this point, just not having a lot of spare change and going to the grocery store. And it was hard for the first, I don't know, couple years under this Biden administration. But going to the grocery store and like getting like two bags of groceries and it's like a couple hundred dollars and you're like, what did I, and then you get home and you're like, what did I even buy? And then you lay it out on your corner, your counter, or you put it in your fridge and you're like, I still need groceries. Like I didn't even, this isn't going to cut it. It's, that's been the life here for me for the last 3.5 years. So, and the lies after the lies and him creating jobs, a lot of those jobs went away during COVID and they just came back. Like he doesn't create any jobs. He's a career politician. He doesn't know how to create jobs. That's the problem, is we keep hiring these people that have no private sector experience whatsoever. They don't know how to create jobs. And this is what I've seen. Most of these people, they get involved in politics. Like I see it here, just locally. They get involved at like the bare minimum level. Like they run for school board, which is great. And you should run for school board and do that. But they do it, a lot of these people do it to like then run for county clerk. And then I'm gonna run for mayor. And now I'm gonna run for a house seat and you know, a state house seat. And then I'm gonna run for a state senate seat. Now I'm gonna run for Congress. So these people have gotten in it. At that point, they've been in this game for like 15, 20 years. They have no private sector experience. They have no idea how most people that are not getting that government check, how they live. And these are the people that are making the decisions. I mean, clearly, obviously, that's what it looks like with Biden. What experience has he had? I mean, I think it's 60 years, or I don't even know how long this guy has been in office, but it's a lifetime. It's like, it's insane. He's been in this game for so long. He has no idea how you would create a job or how the economy really functions. He doesn't know. And neither, obviously, do the people that are surrounding him, because it's a hot mess out there. So, and this I saw this morning. I have to show you guys this. Okay, this is James Carville. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he is a Democrat operative, like advisor, has been advising Democrats for decades, like a really long time. He's 80 years old and he's like a guru when it comes down to politics and strategy and how things work and advising and just, I mean, he's a smart guy. I'll give him that. He's a smart, intelligent human. And he has this meltdown. I have it recorded. I have to play it for you because they're trying everything. Guys, they are trying everything. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating to be on the left side right now, because it seems like it's not working. And I will warn you, there is a little cussing in this. So if you have children, please cover their ears. He does drop the F-bomb at one point. So here we go.
Ahead than he's ever been.
Hold on.
Fewer people think January 6th was dead.
Here we go.
Than he's ever been. Fewer people think January 6th was any kind of what it was, as an assault on the temple of democracy, the Constitution. I don't know whatever the fuck you want to say. It's going the wrong way. It's not working. Everything that we're throwing is spaghetti at a wall, and none of it is sticking, me included. And it's hard when you're starting your 80th year, and you know, like anybody else, I have an opinion of myself. And the opinion I've come to is, I don't matter. It doesn't matter. You can prepare, you can be on TV, or you can write pieces, you can have a YouTube channel, you can have a podcast, and nothing. And, you know, we got to, like, try to think of something different, because what we're doing is really, really not working.
So there you go. And sorry about the cuss word. Sorry. I know that usually I'm able to edit those quickly and bleep it out, but I wasn't able to do that within the amount of time I had. So I apologize. But it's clearly he's frustrated, right? And sometimes when you get frustrated, you say words you probably shouldn't say. But he is so frustrated in this moment. And what they're doing is not working. Right. I mean, the big thing I was going to cover today is that not the big thing, but I was just going to brush over it. This Trump trial that we got, the hush money or whatever, the FCC violation with campaign funds. And, you know, did Trump paying Stormy Daniels, did it affect his election? I don't think so. Honestly, after the Hollywood Access tape or whatever that came out, that didn't sway it. Hearing anything else wouldn't have swayed it. But that's for another story. But all of this lawfare that we're seeing coming out against Trump, I mean, all of these indictments and trials and all of the and gag orders that we're seeing, you can't talk, telling him he can't talk in the middle of a campaign, like in the middle of a campaign for president, he's being told he literally can't talk. I mean, they're doing everything they can to try to get a win for their side. And James Carville here is like, it's not working. It's not working. Like, what? We need something else. Did you hear him say that? We need another plan. And that's what I think is going to happen. I think something that's just going to throw a wrench in all of it could potentially happen here. Because, I mean, Biden, he doesn't know where he is. I don't even know if he knows that he's running for president. Yeah, I don't. It's 15 lies in 17 minutes, guys. Come on. I think they're just trying to get him to the finish line here to November, but I wouldn't put it past him. And I know people still think this is crazy to do something crazy, absolutely insane at this Democrat National Convention in Chicago over the summer. Maybe somebody else steps in. I don't know. Or something bad happens where, you know, they have to stop the election. We can't have an election because it's not going in the direction they want it to. The polls aren't saying it is. Not that I trust the polls at all. But even when you talk to a lot of people out there that supported Biden, they're like, like they'll probably go third party. They're like, I just can't. Like, it's just so bad. So that's where we're at. And we just heard a very prominent Democrat basically say what we're doing isn't working. So either they're going to readjust and come up with some new plan, which is just so messed. I mean, this is where we're at. Like, isn't that sad that we can't, there has to be some calculated plan or something mischievous or, you know, evil almost take place or something so much to sway it or, you know, cheating, whatever. Like, there has to be some kind of plan instead of just, hey, let's toss it to the people. Let the American people decide who wins this. Let's not interfere. But we're not. That's not where we're at as a nation right now. I mean, obviously, if you've been paying attention for the last year, 4 years, you know that they'll do pretty much anything to win. So be ready, be alert, and be vigilant. But he's like, we need another plan. I'm sure there is a meeting taking place right now where they're coming up with another plan. And that's what concerns me, to be honest. Okay. So, yeah, they're wrapping up. The Trump trial is wrapping up. Michael Cohen, his old friend, good old Michael Cohen, who's no longer a friend, is expected to testify, I think, either today or Monday. So I'm sure there'll be more news on that. Hunter Biden has lost his bid to dismiss gun charges, clearing the way for a June trial. And that's kind of, that kind of surprised me, because it's not going to look good if they take this to trial. So I don't know if they'll try to settle it out of court really quick, because if this goes to trial, that's not going to look good, obviously, for Biden. But maybe that's part of a plan, right? Maybe that's part of the plan. It doesn't look good for Biden. Something, you know, we have to, I don't know. Biden has to remove himself. I don't know. There's all sorts of things. There's so many things that could happen. So, but they're moving forward with this charges against Hunter. And remember, okay, so he lied about getting a gun. He was using narcotics at the time and lied, got a gun through illegally purchasing it by lying. And then, so he's got lying about using illegal narcotics when purchasing his handgun in 2018. And a third count, so there's various counts. I don't see the other count. But he's got a lot of charges against him for this illegal purchase, which is just so funny to me because, I mean, the left is so about proper gun use and guns are bad and don't touch guns. And the president's son is illegally purchasing a firearm and under the influence of drugs, like while being a drug user, he purchases a gun. That looks bad. I mean, I would think the whole movement, that the movement of all these mothers that are against, you know, guns and let's end the Second Amendment, you'd think they'd be coming out here and cheering on this trial and saying, yes, this guy needs to be put away. He purchased a firearm. He broke the law, like clearly felony. He needs to be put away. But you don't hear them on that. It's only quiet, right? It's so quiet. What else is going on? Okay, yeah, this one got me. And I talked to my Patreon supporters about this yesterday. Really bothered me. I did a little thing for them. Robert Kennedy. Did you guys see this video? Did you see it? It was a video. So he's sitting there with this reporter, newswoman, or whatever. And she's asking about Roe v. Wade. And it pretty much just comes out. Well, just watch it. Watch it and we'll talk. But it's... It bothered me. It should bother you. Watch.
So in other words, keeping it as is with Roe versus Wade having been overturned and leaving it up to the states to determine if and when a woman can have an abortion?
No, I wouldn't leave it to the states.
You wouldn't, right.
No, I would.
He would say completely, it's up to the woman.
My belief is we should leave it to the woman. We shouldn't have government involved.
Even if it's full term?
Even if it's full term.
Okay. And I think.
Wow. Like, wow. It shouldn't be left up to the states. It should be left up to the woman. And she says, even if it's full term. And he says, even if it's full term. Like, that has to just give you a pause for a minute. I would hope any human out there should just take a moment and hear what this guy just said. Okay. We're talking a fully formed human being, 40 weeks gestation, and he says the right should be left up to the woman. That is a fully formed human. So we're saying basically that one human can kill another human. That's insane to me, but that is the Democrat Party, you guys. That's where they're at. And if you're a Christian, you cannot vote for that. You can't. You literally can't. The creator of life is pro-life. Life stems forth from God. And to then say, I have the right to kill, to end another life? 40 weeks? My daughter was born. My youngest daughter was born at 36 weeks. Okay, my water broke. I was like, I'm having a baby. This is happening. Well, this is happening. And I was a little worried. We're a month early here. And I've got friends. I've got a friend that had a 22-week-old. I think it was 22-week-old and survived. Survived. There are so many preemie baby stories out there of these babies surviving. And my daughter, when she was at 36 weeks, she didn't even need oxygen. She was good to go. She was good to go. These people are fine with killing a baby at 40 weeks gestation. If you support that, God help you when you stand before the creator and try to justify your vote on this. I mean, that is absolute. That's evil. That's evil. Okay. Murder is evil. That is so, I was like, wow, they're just saying it now. They're just going to straight up say it. They're going to straight up say it. And so when I heard that, I was like, wow, this is so dark. I can't believe we're here. Like, we're openly talking about killing fully formed babies. Just that, you know, yeah, there's the argument over all, you know, conception. And I'm pro-life through and through from the very beginning. But even the people that are like, you know, 6 week ban, 15 week ban, like, these people are fine with 40 weeks. I don't know how anyone, especially that believes in God, could support these people. I don't. Or if you, I mean, maybe you don't. You think that there's no God and you can just do whatever you want and there's no accountability. And if that's the case, okay. But if you have any faith whatsoever, you cannot support that. Like, you just can't. Because your soul is eternal, right? Your spirit is eternal. You're going to have to stand before God and justify this. Like, that's insane. So when I heard that, I was like, wow, this is crazy. But then I had another thought. Like, that's just so God. It's so God to be like, I want it so clear what you're supporting. I don't want anyone to be like, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know where I stood on abortion. I just didn't know. No. That's it. He wants you to know. Robert F. Kennedy wants you to know. The Biden administration, ask them. Ask them, where are they limited? Where is it limited? Are they cool with full-term abortion? They haven't said they aren't. Okay? Haven't said they aren't. So God is making it so clear so no one can be like, I didn't know. Like, I just didn't know. You know. And that's just the goodness of God, which is just so awesome. Like, he's just awesome in that. Because it's like, you know what? I'm not going to have anybody confused on this issue. Everybody's going to know where everybody stands here. And that's what's happened over the course, I would say, since 2020 on. It's become more clear. Good, evil, light, dark. It's just like, okay, mutilating children, that's evil. That's wrong. Like, let's just put it out there. Let's let everybody see it. Everybody, you think this is fine? You think this is okay? Okay. Then vote for it. But it's not confusing anymore. There's no more gray. There's no more shadowy zones. It's black and white. It's clear. And that's just how God operates. He's like, I'm not going to have anybody confused. You're going to be so clear on good and evil, right and wrong. And you are going to be held accountable for who you support. Your voice is your vote. Okay. And if you support that, I don't know. I know that there's a God in heaven and he has an opinion, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made in the Creator's image. And I know he has an opinion on this. And I saw that and I was like, wow. Wow. Really? Okay. Okay. So, if you're going to vote third party, if you're thinking, I can't stand Trump. He's just, he's horrible. And Biden, I don't think Biden knows what day it is or where he is. He's probably taking a nap right now. I don't know. I guess I'll vote for JFK. Probably think again. Like, maybe just give it a pause. Give it a pause. Put a pause on it. Put a pause. You know what? Better yet, pray on it. Pray on it. And I'll tell you, listen, I'll tell you. I was contacted yesterday by an old friend out in California. And he asked me, he's like, are you still a Republican? You still support Trump? And I said, yeah, I still do. And I don't support Trump because I just love Trump. Because I'm just like, oh, Trump, there's just nothing the man could do wrong. I love him so much. No, that man is fallible. Very, very fallible. And do I disagree with him on a lot of stuff? Yes, I do. I do. I do. But I vote on policy. Okay. I don't vote because, you know, Trump is just this fantastic, upstanding, morally righteous human. Not at all. Okay. Not at all. I vote on policy. I vote on securing our border. I vote on on pro-life issues. I vote. I'm going to vote for the guy that's like, you know what? We're not killing the babies that are 40 weeks. We're just not doing it. We're not doing it as a nation. We're going to draw the line somewhere, and we're drawing a line. I'm going to vote for that guy over the guy that's like, yeah, kill it. Just kill it. Let the mom decide. Do what you got to do. I vote on policy. Okay. I vote on somebody that knows how to run a business, that has not been in the public sector their entire life, that knows how to sign the front of a paycheck, right? That can say that has had employees. That, I mean, I'm going to vote for the man that does believe that we have the right, especially as a woman, I have the right to defend myself, that puts me on equal ground with a man if I have to defend myself with a firearm. I'm going to vote for the person that's not colluding with big tech to censor speech. I'm going to vote on policies. I'm going to vote for the person that has some idea of how to put America back to work, how to put America first, how to make sure that America is doing well before the rest of the world is doing well. I'm going to vote for that guy. Okay. I vote on policies. And that's how it should be. I don't know when. I have no idea when it turned into like some kind of popularity contest. I have no idea when it became like some kind of celebrity thing. You know, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite and what do they wear? Like, if you want that, go to Hollywood, man. I need people in Washington that know how to run things, that know how to put America first, that don't know how to defend our country. This is insane. The amount of conflict that has erupted over the last 4 years under the Biden administration is very concerning. I mean, it doesn't look like it's calming down anytime soon. There was no new conflict with Trump. No new conflict. Like that, as a mom, I want to feel safe. I don't want to think, oh my gosh, like at any point in time. And I don't think Biden would even know what's going on. I vote on policy. And after I said that, I was like, oh, well. I mean, I don't know how you are. What policies, just if you're a troll on here, what policies has Biden enacted that has made your life better? Like, tell me, what has he done that has made your life so much better over the last 4 years? How is the world better under Biden? Like, what? It's not, you don't have to like Trump. You don't have to even want to have a beer with him or hang out with him or have anything to do with him. It's, I want the policies that you bring. That's it. Do your job. Enact the policies. That's your job. These people work for us. Anyways. And there was no answer on that. Couldn't answer. They can never answer that. Because there's nothing, I don't know one good thing that the Biden administration, he canceled student loan debt. That's what they'll say. He canceled student loan. You know, you're now paying for that. Do people understand that the government does not make money outside of the taxpayer paying? Like, we, taxpaying Americans, fund the government. Does everybody understand that? Like, it's not like they have their own little thing going on here and they're creating, you know, they're doing their own thing and they're making their, no, they're taking your money and they're paying someone's loan with it. That's what they're doing. So no, nothing was really canceled. It was just pushed off on people that are struggling to pay their own bills. Now they have to pay your loans too. That's it. I can't think of anything else. If you can think of something else, let me know. Seriously, drop it in the comments. Biden did this for me and my life is just so much better. It is so much better. Like, let me know. Like, tell me your story because I want to hear it. It's a hot mess. It is, it's crazy. And I feel bad for the people that still can't see it because you know why? They're letting their anger for Trump because, you know, Trump, blind the policy. Blind, just shut it all off and look at policies. Biden policies, Trump policies. That's all you should do. That's all we're supposed to do. So anyways, let's see here. I think that's a lot of what I wanted to Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. And then Biden is really starting to question his support for Israel, funding Israel. The United States halted a large shipment of offensive weapons to Israel last week in a sign of its growing concern over a possible military offensive on Rafah, the senior administration official told NBC News. The decision comes as Joe Biden pushes for Israel and Hamas to compromise and reach a ceasefire deal. The problem why there's no ceasefire is because there's still hostages. Like, I don't know why no one's talking about this. Like, there are still hostages. They still have hostages. Hamas has kidnapped these people and is not releasing them. Just release the hostages. It's problem solved. But we're not even talking about this still. They have hostages. And Israel wants these people back, rightfully so. And so Biden's now like, I don't know, we need to come to some kind of peace deal. The peace deal could simply be, give us back our hostages. You know? And let's end Hamas. These people that are just terrorizing everyone. Like that's what needs, like, I don't. The foreign policy under this administration, it's like, and I think I could be wrong, but I think there's still American hostages. Let me look here. I think there's American hostages still with Hamas. Let's see. I think so, which is just so sad to me. Yeah, American hostages in Gaza. American families. There are American families that have hostages still over there. American families of hostages in Gaza say they don't have time for progress in ceasefire talks. Like, just so there are families, the families of four American hostages and others killed in the Israel-Hamas war said Friday that any ceasefire deal must bring their loved ones home. Yes. And this was in April. It's still not happened. Like, and Biden's like, let's just calm it down. We'll calm it down when we get our people back. I mean, could you imagine being an American overseas right now, knowing that if something happened to you or something happened to your kid, the Biden administration's not gonna do anything for it. They're not gonna help you. They're not gonna do anything. I remember, like, if American was captured or something would happen to an American, like, our government did everything they could to get that American back. Not anymore. It's like, you know, arrange a peace deal. Well, we'll peace deal when we get the hostages back. Like, so that's crazy to me. That's crazy, but that's where we're at. So Biden's now saying that he's going to, they're halting any kind of large shipment of offensive weapons, even without negotiating for hostages. That's just absolutely insane to me. Yesterday afternoon, the House GOP drafted a Biden impeachment article over Israel aid cutoff. That's great and all. Like, but this House GOP, like, why didn't we draft impeachment articles when Biden left our border open? Like, you know, I can support Israel, but I can also support our own country. Okay, I think, like, people are like, you can't do both. Yes, you can. Like, I can have a love for Israel, especially because of the biblical role it plays and my faith and what it says about Israel and scripture says about Israel. I can support them there. But I also believe in supporting America, especially getting American hostages back. Like, I can do that. And I think that if we're going to do some kind of impeachment on Biden, it should have been done when he let millions and millions of people, undocumented people that we have no idea who they are, come across our border. And a lot of them have killed Americans. So that seems like that would have been the time to do an impeachment. But this House GOP, I bet you Speaker Johnson, who I seriously cannot figure that guy out at all, I bet you he's a little like, wait a minute, I negotiated to give billions and billions to Ukraine and billions to Israel. And now Biden's not going to send the money to Israel that I wanted him to send. Yeah, no, you got played. You got played, Speaker Johnson. Like, that's what happened. You don't play with the Democrats. There's no negotiating bipartisan. No, no. But yeah, I guess he's learning it the hard way. I'm sure he's like, wait, what happened? They're not. No, The Biden administration doesn't want to support Israel because they need the vote in Michigan. Let's be honest. A lot of Michigan is very pro-Palestine, pro-Gaza. They don't have an affinity for Israel whatsoever. And I think it was a huge percentage. I don't know. I might have it in my notes from another day. But when Michigan had their primary, like a whole, yeah, hold it here. I got it. Yeah, Biden in February, Biden lost to uncommitted voters in Michigan because of the large Muslim population there. So the Biden administration is thinking right now, we can't lose Michigan. Like we can't lose Michigan. So we're just going to let our American hostages stay with Hamas because we don't want to lose Michigan. That's what he's doing. Okay. Just to give you a clear idea of what's happening there. And Speaker Johnson's thinking, well, wait a minute. The House voted to give you a bunch of money to help Israel. And now you're not helping Israel. No, they're not. They want Michigan. It's all politics and it's disgusting. And at the same time, we've got like serious lives in danger because of it. And they're playing politics, all of them. That's got to disgust you. Anyways, what are your comments? What are your comments? What else do I have for you? Okay. Oh, I'm going to start to close it down a little bit. I've got a few more things I want to say. I want to touch on this thing, and I've mentioned it to my supporters on Patreon. I think I mentioned it here. Christendom. I can't say it. It's a big thing that's happening right now. It's under the ground still, but it's called Christendom 2.0. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. Maybe one of you guys, maybe you're all in for Christendom 2.0, but it's a movement I'm seeing right now in the conservative party, in politics, in the people that are involved in politics that are conservative. I'm seeing this. It's kind of like the whole play on it is putting Christ in everything in our society. And that sounds awesome. Like when you hear it, you're like, yes, like we need Jesus everywhere. We need to completely change and transform this country into a country that loves the Lord and return to Christian values. And how good would our world be if we had Christ-centered lives, right? Like I agree with that. But a lot of it is, it comes across very like crusader type, where it's almost like a taking back in almost a forceful manner. And I want to show you this clip, and this is what got me into it, because I saw this guy's clip, and then I started to dive into it. And I was up late last night, like watching this guy's stuff and then seeing who he's affiliated with and why do they think this way. This guy's name is Joel Webbin. He is a post-millennial. So he believes, if we're going to do a little theology here, he believes that we're kind of like in a millennial reign right now. And a millennial reign is that 1,000 years, right? Like the horribleness happens and then you have this 1,000-year reign. And a lot of post-millennials believe that now they're going to usher in Christ once they get everything in order. I'm not post-millennial, okay? I'm pre-millennial. I believe that there's a millennial reign and Christ is part of it. I believe that Jesus did everything for us on the cross and he did it. But this kind of take is more like we're going to do it and then Christ will come back. So it was very interesting to me to watch this, but I want to hear your thoughts after you watch this really quick.
We're not even close to more. We're degenerates. The Constitution is not, suited for governing degenerates, for governing degenerates. And I'm curious your thoughts on this, if you agree, disagree. But I think for our population that is degraded, morally and culturally, and religiously, as far as we have, you need power Men must be governed. you need a Caesar type, you know. Now, if you're asking me my preference, that would probably be my preference, would be a constitutional republic. But I think the conditions for that is a moral people. So I think you can work towards that in the future. But I don't think constitutioning even harder is going to get us out of our current mess. I don't see us getting out of this apart from things getting worse and worse, and then eventually like a Caesar type rising through the ranks, a populist, you know, figure, and the people, you know, the political will of the people, the people are desperate and they're like, yes, do it, so-and-so, and then so-and-so, constitution be damned, just rules with an iron fist, and the, you know, like a Cromwell type, and then you know, hopefully don't get his son, maybe then you're able, and then you maybe it's just a one generation, one guy kind of thing, and then you have to move back to, you know, aristocracy or some other form.
So I saw that and I was like, wow, what is this? And he's got a big following, and there's a lot of people that like him. And he also kind of links up with a guy, I think his name is, Doug Wilson? Doug Wilson, I think his name is Doug Wilson. And Doug Wilson, he kind of links up with him, and it's very much like bringing this Christian kind of utopia to earth. And, you know, we might not be able to have the constitution because we need someone to come and rule and shut this thing down and put everything back in place in a very more forceful type manner. Now, when I heard that, I was like, well, isn't that kind of what the Antichrist does? like, oh, just hold on a second. We need someone to come and put everything like in order. And this is where I get like this offset where I'm like, okay, Jesus put everything in order, right? I feel like there's this lack of like what Jesus did on the cross, right? He conquered the grave. He is going to eventually establish his kingdom, but it's through his Holy Spirit that people are converted, right? It can't be done in a forceful type manner. And then I started to just think about it. And I thought, you know, I think it's very important right now to not be misled on things and to understand, okay, what's the heart behind it? Because if we're operating in the Holy Spirit and we're being led by the Holy Spirit, then you would see fruits of the Spirit, right? Like that would be the, okay, this person is operating in the Holy Spirit. They're being led by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to see love. We're going to see kindness. We're going to see goodness. We're going to see temperance. We're going to see long suffering. We're going to see faithfulness. Those are what we're going to see when we understand that we are working and linking up with people that are operating in the Holy Spirit. And then, I mean, we are to be salt and light, right? Like we are to be salt and light so that others see our good works, but they glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So they're drawn to that light. They're drawn to that salt. They're drawn to that love and that kindness and that goodness and that gentleness and that meekness and forgiveness, like all of the nature of God, like that is what attracts an individual that's seeking the truth, right? And so I saw this, and I saw that he's getting a lot of activity. There's a lot of people that are starting to join this Christendom 2.0 movement. But my question is, like, is it operating with the fruit of the Holy Spirit? And that's where I just give it pause, where I'm like, wait a minute, like it just comes across more forceful than the Holy Spirit would operate. Do you know what I'm saying? And I totally believe that we are to be a light, to share Jesus. And I think that a lot of these people's views have to do with how they view eschatology. Like this guy is a post-millennial. So if you're a post-millennial, there's the idea that you You know, there's a lot of self involved. You put it in order, right? It's you. And then Jesus returns and all this. And I think it's very important to know people's eschatology, to know how they just view the world, because a lot of this has to do with the policies that we're like, you're like, Rachel, what does this have to do with politics? Or it all meshes together, because just how I, as a Christian who am not a post-millennial, who believes that there will be a millennial reign after the tribulation, and that Israel has a significant role, because I see it through scripture and I know that God's promises are everlasting. Like, because of that, I have a certain outlook and a certain perception on the world and how I'm going to view things because of that, right? So if you're a post-millennial and you don't see Israel, you see it as insignificant, you don't view Israel as anything whatsoever, you believe that you are going to set the world right and then Jesus will come back, like, you're going to have a different outlook than I am. And I think it's very important to know where people are coming from and before you even engage. For example, and I'll wrap this up soon, I went on a live stream with a guy I really like, Anomaly. He's got a huge following. I went on there. It was last minute. He wrote me and said, hey, can you come in like in an hour? I went on. I shouldn't have come on. And I wasn't prepared. And I did a really bad job. Right? Like I didn't convey what I wanted to convey. I was asked a lot about conservatives in conservative media defending Israel. And I didn't know, I was like, I'm not an expert on conservative media, right? Like, I have my little platform here. I'm very much grassroots. I don't do media hits. I don't go on big Fox News. I don't do that stuff. I'm small. Okay. So I don't have like the insider knowledge of whether conservative media is allowed to talk about Israel, whether they're owned or whether they're getting money. I don't know any of that, but I do know what the Bible says about Israel. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, but we didn't go that route. And I felt completely like unprepared. I didn't do a good job, but looking back on it. And then I was like beating myself up on it. I was like, Rachel, you did such a bad job. Like, why'd you go on there? You shouldn't have gone on there. I was stupid. You looked like an idiot. You looked so dumb. And I realized I was also a boomer. Like, I got called a boomer so many times in the comments. But anyways, I learned from it. And like, God really spoke to my heart after that. He's like, first of all, this was a learning experience. But first of all, you never go on like last minute and know your audience. Like, if you're on with somebody and you know that they have a stance on Israel that you don't have, like, I don't believe that, Anomaly has a huge affinity for Israel or the support of Israel, like, you can read his comments. So most of the people that follow him probably don't. So you're going to get flack if you go on with somebody that opposes your views, because the people that follow them most likely align with the people that follow, like they align with the person that they're following. But I should have right out the gate said, what are your views? Because I think at this point in the game where we're at, if you're a Christian and you're engaging with another Christian on policy, if you're engaging with another Christian on foreign, our foreign involvement, foreign policy, all of that stuff, I think it's very important to, before you even start, and I should have done this and I didn't, and in the future I will, ask what's your eschatology? What's your stance? Like, there's also people that are called preterists. Okay. These people believe that all biblical prophecy has been fulfilled. Like, there's nothing, we're not waiting for anything. Like, there's not, it's just, and they believe that. There's a lot of Christians that believe that they're preterists and they believe all biblical prophecy has been fulfilled. So I think it's very important before you, and you might even want to do this in your own personal life, because it can get really heated, especially if you're like, wow, we're Christians, but obviously we do not agree on a lot of stuff here. I think it's really important to ask them, like, what's their eschatological, their eschatology, like, where do you stand? What do you see happening? Have you studied end times? Where do you stand on that? Are you post-millennial? Are you pre-millennial? Are you a preterist? Like, knowing these things is very important before you even engage. And I didn't. And I looked like an idiot because I wasn't prepared. I wish I would have, because I put myself out there. I stated like where I came, like where I was on stuff and what I thought. And I have no idea. Like, and it wasn't reciprocated. So I didn't know. And I should. And I wish I did know. I wish I did know. Like, in the future, I'll be like, hey, where do you stand on this? And then also, like, when I was praying about it, like, God's like, a lot of this is spiritual, right? A lot of this is a lot of people, like, that are not Christians. If you're to sit down and you're going to explain kind of where you stand, right? You believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, that he came into this world, that he healed the sick, that he performed miracles, that he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. He was then crucified. He died. He rose again. He took on all of the sins of the world. He cut that veil so you can now have a personal relationship with Jesus. He gave us authority over a lot of the spiritual realm. Like, we have authority in the name of Jesus. Like, all that Jesus did for us on the cross, he saved us from the days of wrath that are coming. Like, we're not destined for wrath. Like, all that Jesus did. And when you start to talk about it and you share this with somebody that's not a Christian at all, that's not a believer, that has no, they're like, what? You sound crazy. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, it sounds like, that sounds crazy. So you have to, first of all, not care if you sound crazy. Like, okay, I just have to deal with that. But you have to also realize that in order for someone to honestly receive what you're saying, there has to be like a spiritual softening there, right? They have to have a soft heart and they have to be searching, right? Like, if you're an atheist and you're like, I just live and die and that's it. Like, that's what, like, and I don't even know if there's God. Like, and if that's your stance, then me coming along like, hey, like, you know, speaking all this and saying all this, it sounds crazy, but I don't think that you're to shy away from that. I think at this point, people are very hungry for the truth. And so God was just kind of like, hey, people are, you know, it might sound crazy, but it's not crazy, right? Like, it might sound nutty, but it's not nutty. So don't shy away from that. Cause there was that moment where I was like, well, I don't know, you know, like, and then, you know, and that's not what we're supposed to do. Like, the response shouldn't be like to pull back on your faith. The response should be to push forward on your faith and to share it unashamed. Like, yeah, it might sound crazy when I say this and what I believe, but I'm not ashamed. It's the truth. Okay. And the truth literally liberates and sets you free. And that's what I'm going to do. But I did learn, and it's a learning experience. I've been doing this for a while and I'm still learning. I'm a work in progress, but I did learn that if you're going to talk to someone about foreign policy and this person's a Christian, and it has anything to do with Israel, very important, extremely important to know their views from an eschatology point of view. Like, I think that's so important. And I didn't think to do it. Now I will. And maybe people don't want to share it. So, you know, it's probably like, I don't want to share it because then I'll sound like crazy. But, well, you know, let's hear it. What are your views? And I should have done that. So anyways, that's my story of the day, my personal story. Oh, Karen, I watched you. You did great. It's only out of revenge. Oh, yeah. I am a boomer. You do hear boomer a lot. I got to do some kind of satirical video on boomer. Okay. It's coming. It's got you. There's something there. I haven't tapped into it yet, but I'm kind of like over it. Like, it's a word that's completely being misused and overused. Like, it's like, okay. Anyways, well, thank you, Karen. I appreciate that. I'm learning, right? Like, I feel like that was a learning experience, and that's how you grow, right? I'm not going to grow if I'm not put in situations where like, okay, what should you have done differently? What will you do in the future? And what will you do right now to prepare? That's where we grow, right? You don't grow when there's no testing, when there's no confrontation, when everything is just wonderful and perfect. You grow when you're pressed, right? You grow when there's pressure. You grow when you're in a trial. You grow. That's when you actually grow. And so that was a growing experience for me. Boy, did I learn a lot. And, you know, moving on. Hey, Brett. Brett's one of my supporters. Thank you, Brett, for being here. God bless you in crazy Colorado. Yes. And Brett, you wrote me on Patreon about how people are now taking in immigrants into their homes and they're getting paid to do that here in Colorado. It's nuts. It's just, it's absolutely absurd. Here we are. Jeff. Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you, Jeff. Very kind. Yeah. So that's what I got for you today. It's kind of gloomy here, a little rainy, a little gloomy. Missy, what are you saying here? We need to start out change by filling our children's minds. Yes. Yes. And that's the thing too, because when I come back to like a lot of this Christendom and taking over, and the number one thing you're supposed to do, like as a Christian, Jesus, what did he call us to do? He called us to go and make disciples. And how do you disciple someone, right? Like, what does discipleship look like? It's not like, listen to me. I know what I'm at. Like, discipleship is coming alongside one and guiding them in truth, right? And guiding them in love and being led by the Holy Spirit and discipling. My number one thing as a mom is to disciple my children. That's it. Like that, the worst thing in the world for me would be to get so caught up in other things as a mother that I don't focus on the people in my own home, that I don't focus on my kids, and they grow up and their lives are a hot mess. Like that would tear me apart. My job is to make sure that I am discipling them in a godly way to raise them to change the world for the better, right? Like that's my job. That's my number one job. That's my priority. And then from there to disciple other people that God puts into my life. So it's discipleship. That's what, like, I think a lot of there's like, what do we do? Just be a disciple. Take one person, just disciple them, walk with them, lead them, speak into their life, check in on them, grow their faith, share the gospel. Like it starts with one person, right? And grow it from there. So children are being taught to hate Israel in their schools. Yeah, it's, and I was on a friend, I was on a call earlier today with a good friend kind of sharing with her that all this is this last week and the craziness of it all. But I said, even if you're not, like, even if you're post-millennial, right? And you're like, no, you know, the church replaces Israel. Israel's insignificant. They have no meaning. You know, 1948 and the Rothschilds, and it's all just a bunch of globalists, like all of that. If that's your theology, that's what you think, like that's your mindset. I would think that for just a small moment in your life, for a small moment of time, you would think, okay, we're dealing with a country the size of New Jersey, surrounded by 53 other Muslim nations that do not like them. And now you've got one of the greatest superpowers on the planet, the United States, also starting to turn their back on them. This country is absolutely tiny. Why? Why is there so much animosity for this tiny little country? Could it just for a moment maybe be spiritual? Just entertain that thought just for a second and pray on it. Because, I mean, I think this is going to increase. I do. So what do you think about Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to get rid of the House Speaker? This is the thing. Like, okay, I said this earlier on the stream. Like, I am not a big Mike Johnson fan at this point. Like, I had hopes. I was like, yeah, okay, Christian, we can do this. Yes. And I just feel like either he's being completely misled or trying to appease everyone and get along. And he does have the heart for Israel. And so he's letting that kind of like cloud his judgment on some of this stuff. Like, I think you can still, as a Christian, have a heart for Israel like I do, but also think, okay, we've got problems here on the home front. We need to make sure that we're doing well in order to be able to make sure that everybody else does well. We're not doing well. Like, we're not doing well. It's like, it would be like me as a mom going out and doing speaking tours on how to be a great mother and how to love your family and have a great marriage. If my marriage is falling apart and my kids are just a train wreck, that would be wrong. I need to make sure that my house is in order. My marriage is strong. My kids are good before I go out there and try to do all that, right? Like, I feel like that's what we're doing. We're get your house in order, secure your border. My goodness. Like, get inflation down. Let's get the homeless off the streets. These veterans are hurting. Like, focus here and then you can do your thing out here. And that's not what Mike Johnson has done. And I'm upset with the funding for Ukraine as well. So I like the idea, but my concern is if you're going to do that, if Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to do that, have a plan in place. Like, know exactly who you're going to replace him with, and do they have the votes? Like, that is very, very important, because we cannot lose it. We cannot lose the House to Hakeem Jeffries. Like, that's no. So, you know, have a plan in place. And maybe they do. Maybe she's got some brilliant plan in place. What else? Yes, Paul. Amen. Amen to that. All right, you guys. What else? Peggy. Hi, Peggy. Peggy's another supporter. Thanks for being here, Peggy. Appreciate you. Just as Jesus did with his disciples. Amen. What else? I suppose, all right, you guys. Well, I think that's pretty much it for me. More baseball this weekend. I'm in the thick of it. I'm, you know, if you're a baseball mom, you know that your weekends, you're cheering your kid on. And my son did really good last weekend. He did some pitching. He pitches first base and center field. That's what he does. And he's growing. And that's another thing too. Like, that's hard to do as a mom. Like, you watch your kid out there on the mound, especially if they're struggling a little bit, and you're like, you can do it. Press on. But I do. I'm a big advocate for sports. I think sports are so healthy for a kid. Keep your kid busy. Keep them out of trouble. Like, that's my advice. They don't have time for it. Sorry. You got to get in the cages. Sorry. He also plays basketball. Sorry. You got practice. You just keep them busy, right? Keep them busy. and focused on, and it's also good for your head. I think as you start to go through adolescence and all of that, like, having a sport and outlet is really, really good for you. That's my advice as a mother. I'm a mother 12 years in, so we'll see how I'm doing when they're, like, you know, in their 20s. That's when you can kind of adjust and say, okay, maybe I could offer a little advice. I'm still learning right now, to be honest. What else? Yeah. And my daughter had her volleyball championship. She won. They won the championship. She's 10. I'm very proud of her. And so, yeah, we're getting ready for summer. Lots going on with summertime. Kids will be with me a lot. We'll be doing some activities, some vacation Bible school, all of it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good summer. All right. Well, that's it. I appreciate you all. And I see that there's a lot of my Patreon supporters on here, and also some of my Facebook supporters. God bless you guys. I'm so thankful for you. I cannot even tell you how much I appreciate you guys. You keep me going. You keep me going. Okay. I'm going to, actually drop See, this is my problem. I do this every time. I'm like, I would like to drop my link if you'd like to support me in here. Let me do it. Hold on. If you want to become a Patreon supporter, drop it in here. I know that it's going to heat up as we head into this election season. There's going to be a lot more going on. And I do hope to have more satirical videos to make. I know that that's everyone's favorite. the thing is, when you're doing satirical video, like I said earlier at the top of this, you can't push comedy, right? It has to hit you. And I have another friend that she's an artist, and she's like, sometimes I'll just go days without any kind of creative anything, you know, and I go, I get it. Like, and you just have to like wait for it. And then when it hits you, you have to immediately produce it. So that's kind of how it is with my work. I'll be in like a drought where I'm like, I got nothing right now. And then suddenly I'll be driving, or I'll be sleeping, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I got it. And so then you got to create it. So that's kind of how it works with the whole satire end of stuff. So, all right. So I'll put that in there if you guys want to support. What is this? Hopefully no cheating. Yeah. Hopefully no cheating. Seriously, Jeff. I know. Like I said earlier, who knows what the next, and it's not that far off. We're not that far off. Like, we're getting close. We got summer and then a little bit of the, you know, the September, October, and then bam, it's November. So here we go. But, you know, trust in God. That's what honestly, I come back to that every time. Like, he's right. He sees it all. There's nothing that's going to throw him off. Every single secret meeting taking place, he sees it. He's sovereign. He's seated on the throne. And that is like literally just gives me so much peace. So, all right, you guys, God bless you. Thank you for your support. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk soon. Bye, guys.